I'm going to be chatting to Charissa Blumberg, a psychologist and also someone who focuses very clearly on integrity leadership. She's an integrity leadership specialist. And what are the lessons that you've learnt in the past year, and how do you acknowledge them? How do you move on from some of the pain of 2020? I mean, it's the sort of thing, right? You're sitting there and it's 11:45 and it's the 31st of December and you're wondering, ooh, this has to be a new start in the next 15 minutes. But truth be told, once the clock strikes 12, once you're into the new day, not much has changed. It's a process. You don't just forget things. You don't just all of a sudden start a new life and everything that's happened disappears. Because a lot of that memory sits within that emotional center. A lot of that memory still lingers with you. You don't just flush it down a loo. So how does one deal with the juxtaposition of 2019 and 2020? And to talk to you around this, we've got Charissa Blumberg, who is a psychologist and integrity leadership specialist. Charissa, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Kino. Happy New Year.
And
thank
to you,
you
too. It's great
thank
having
you.
You.
Thank you.
It's wonderful. Hey, I mean, you look at this new year and there's this little line you jump over at 12:01 and it becomes 2020. And all of a sudden, the expectation is that your life is now going to be different. But that's not the way life works, is it?
No, not at all. And well said, that intro is perfect. We think at 12 o'clock, here comes all the new. But you know what, Kino? You can't have a new life and expect still to do the same old things and not do any work of yourself. It's not going to just change and arrive there for you on a platter. We have to do the work, unfortunately.
Yep.
And it's a lot of work. Because we've seen so much pain. So we see, you know, all of us, our nation is dealing with loss, hurt, rejection, death of loved ones, you know, of loved pets, terrible things that we've seen, murder, rape, animal cruelty. And a lot of people are dealing with post-traumatic stress, you know, by looking at these pictures. So there's a lot to be done, Kino.
No, indeed. Indeed. And as you said, you know, it is a journey because a lot of the hurt that we feel sort of, well, emanates from the emotional center of the brain, which is the most well-developed part of the brain. Whereas your, what do you call that thing, the prefrontal cortex or whatever the heck it's called, that's where your logical center sits, and that's, you know, the blank canvas that you're born with, and you're always having to develop that. But how do you then connect the two? How do you take the emotional and the pain and, you know, some of the things that part of the brain holds quite closely, and it becomes memories and quite strong memories? And how do you take the logical part that says, okay, I need to move on, and how do you make a strong connection between the two to be able to move on?
Brilliant questions, because the emotional center sits there as well.
Yeah.
So here's the other side. Before we look at that, if we don't, you know what's happening, Kino? We're taking all that hurt, and that hurt turns into anger and frustration, and we're taking our wounded selves into the next year, into our relationships, into our work, into our family. And the sad thing is, a lot of the time we're doing it unconsciously. So the first thing we have to do, and this is so hard, and I don't just say this easily, we have to confront and acknowledge the hurt and the pain from whatever loss it is that we're going through. Mm. Because you know what? If we don't and we repress it, it comes back even harder. And we try and repress it because it's hurtful. And we do it by self-destructive behaviors, trying to forget, maybe drugs, alcohol, sex, road rage, cutting ourselves off from others. And we push it down because we don't want to look at it. But that's where the danger comes. And that can lead to so much more. That leads to insomnia, anxiety, depression, all those terrible things, unresolved issues lead to panic attacks. So we have to look at it. And if we can look at it, we can a little bit more be more free to be expect all the new and welcome the new. It's not all dread. It's the positive things come after that.
But you also need to surely envision and train your brain to see yourself in another situation and almost feel the emotions, you know. So if I am currently in a bad relationship and I know I don't have freedom and I always have a knot in my stomach when I get home, I must also be able to surely train my brain and go, what would it be like if I didn't have this? If I could get home and I could go for my drives and I, you know, could have my freedom, for example.
Yes, well said, you know, because we can get stuck in a rut. And the most important thing we need to do, and here's the biggest tip ever, is look at our thoughts, because they lead to the actions. And if we're going to sit in, I can't, I won't be able to escape this, I'll never be able to, I'm stuck in a rut, I can't move on, that's going to lead to those actions. Mm-hmm. So yes, we have to train our thoughts. We have to look at the hurt, and we have to look at the thoughts behind that. Because a lot of the time, those are toxic thoughts.
Yeah.
Those can be dysfunctional thoughts that hold us back. And herein is a danger. So we have to choose to make the change.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of work, you know, to get support around it, to talk to someone, to want to have the growth, to move past whatever it is we're stuck in.
And I don't think a lot of people are trained to be able to do that, right? Because
no.
You get the self-help books, and it's just words that tell you, from tomorrow, your life will change. Take back your power. I mean, what does it actually mean if it's not connected to anything emotional?
Yeah, exactly so. And it's hard to do it, and if no one's mentoring you and there to watch you, you know, you just get frustrated and move on.
Mm.
Okay, so the first thing and the first tip I want to share is just look at all the hardships, look at what you're going through, and confront it and feel it. And, you know, there's a lot of stages, you know, that we have to look at, and those are Kubler-Ross's stages. You know, the ones of denial and the ones of bargaining and anger and depression and acceptance. And if we know what stage we're in, it's so much easier to identify. Because it's normal what we're going through. We mustn't be so hard on ourselves.
Yes.
It is normal to go through any of those emotions in those stages. But then the next thing is, how do we see ourselves next year? What do we want to change in our lives? Where do we want to go? Because, you know, the most powerful thing is we are stronger than we think we are. We really are, Kina. There is such a strong sense, and we've got to tap into that.
And how do you, I don't know, would it help changing the people you associate with? Because surely if you have the wrong people, a lot of negative messaging constantly flows your way, and you end up believing it. And so all the great thoughts and intents go out the window.
Exactly. Well said. I spoke about toxic relationships recently, and that is so bad because any thought, negative thought or positive, you repeat to yourself, or someone repeats to you over and over, you're stupid, you're an idiot, you can't, you won't be able to. Unconscious comes to believe it as being true. We believe it as being true. So we've got to surround ourselves with positive people. And I know that's easier said than done because it's some of our family members that are negative.
Yeah.
I'm not laughing. It's really serious,
hard to
get away from that.
Yes,
but it's about choices, and it's about choosing to surround yourself with people who are going to uplift you and support you. And if it's not, if you can't get away from that, then there's got to be someone you can talk to that is going to be positive for you, that is going to mentor you and coach you.
And then, you know, it's it's such a difficult journey to go on to.
Yeah.
How do you self-check? How do I? So I go on this journey, and I want to achieve. And yes, you mentioned the tool. You know, there are stages that you go through, and you need to know which stage you're at. But with each stage, is there a tool that one could use to help you deal with that particular stage effectively?
Okay, good questions you're asking. I think the most important thing ever is to tune into our self-talk. And that's easier said than done, because a lot of us go around unconsciously thinking thoughts. I mean, the traffic or this, what. We're not tuned into the thoughts. And the first step is to tune in. What are we telling ourselves? I'm so depressed. I'm never going to make it. I wish I lived somewhere else. I can't stand this. What are we thinking? And that, to me, Kina, took me 3 years to tune into it. And I still unconsciously can carry on and not tune in.
Yep.
Tune into what we're thinking. That is the biggest key ever, because that will give you the answers at which stage you're at and where you're at and what you're telling yourself. Because whatever you're thinking will come to be true. You'll create it with the emotions.
Yeah.
And that's powerful. That is powerful.
As a parent, how can you help? Because we always think of ourselves as these adults who can, you know, we get a couple of tools and we can deal with it. You know, the brain only fully develops at, what, the age of 24, 25 or whatever it is. And when you're looking at your teenagers who are also wanting to move on, you know, their coping mechanisms aren't the same as ours. So what can we do as parents? The best thing that we can do to help our children move on. Because we sometimes giggle when they say, I broke up with my boyfriend. Oh, I didn't do too well at school. But that takes, I mean, that knocks your self-worth for a six.
Yes. And you know what? You said the key word there, Kino. You said coping strategies. It's about resilience. How some people are actually can fight things better than others, it's resilience. I think if we had to teach our children that from an early age, that they are resilient, that they have coping techniques, that they, you know, build their self-esteem, that they can manage it. So a little somebody let you down at school, they do think it's the whole world is falling apart. But chances are you're not going to marry that person, and you will survive, and you'll go on to do great things. And I think as parents, the best we could do is keep praising our children all the time, how amazing they are, how incredible they are, how powerful they are, how powerful their thoughts are, that no one can put them down in this world.
Yep.
And we need to be teaching this at school as well. You know, I go on about integrity and teaching children to do the right things and not hurting others. And emotional intelligence, that's a whole other topic.
Yep.
That should also be taught at school, and better coping techniques.
Wonderful.
That's a gift.
Where do we find you, by the way? Do you have a website?
Thank you so much. Yes, I have www.integrityforum.co.za.
I like that, integrityforum.co.za. Yes. Well, you know, and I think the one thing we're all scared of sometimes is actually going to get help. And maybe seeing a professional is the best way you could potentially start your year. You don't have to see the person for, you know, 8 months of the year. You could start initially putting some steps in place by going to see a professional who can help you.
Yes, and you know what? Not everyone can afford it. I understand that. But even a counselor, a lay person, someone in the church, a mentor, someone you look up to, talk to someone who can guide you and direct you. And it's the best process ever. I talk to someone. So, yeah, we all need someone.
Absolutely.
That can do that.
But, Sharissa, yes. Great chatting to you. Thank you for making the time available. Really appreciate it. Sharissa Blumberg, celebrity psychologist and integrity leadership specialist.